Blog Talk Radio. Talk radio program. I'm Susan, Laris, and Dan, and I am just so delighted to welcome you all here again to another evening broadcast of the Frontier Beyond Fear. We are having more and more of these, and I think we will continue to do that because I'm seeing that the audience enjoys that. So you can continue to see this show both at night and during the day. Just keep an eye on that schedule on frontierbeyondfear.com. Tonight, I have a very interesting guest who I will bring on the line in just a moment after I introduce him. Brant Morgan is with us, and he is going to talk to us about this wonderful new game, just in time for the holidays. And if you're listening to this after the holidays, it's just an excellent gift to yourself. The Five Agreements game, the chivalry of relationships. And we'll be talking to Brant about what that means exactly. And this is based on the life-changing books by Don Miguel Ruiz and Don Jose Ruiz that many of us are familiar with. And I will say that part of my own awakening, it's been 10 years now, was a Circle of Fire group. It was one of the very first things I ever got involved with outside of a more conservative spirituality. I think tonight we're going to have a really fun time discussing why injecting playfulness into our spirituality is so important. And as part of that, we are going to be giving out a free game. So I'm going to tell you right now how you can register for that at the outset, and I will tell you again later, and it's on the show page. Because I know some of you listen live and many of you listen to the podcast, I'm going to give the podcast listeners at least a couple days opportunity to register. So what you need to do, follow the instructions on the show page and send an email to info@frontierbeyondfear.com by noon Pacific on Friday, December 19th. Just your name and mailing address, and I will let the winner know. Now, just a few words about this game. I felt it would be appropriate to read something Don Miguel Ruiz said about the game. This game is a beautiful window to the truth. You cannot play it without more clearly seeing yourself and how you create your relationships. You cannot play it without taking more responsibility for your life. You cannot play it without feeling more joyful and free. The Five Agreements game is proof that transforming your life does not have to be difficult. It is a powerful way of finding happiness while having fun. This game is like life. If you play it with love, you are already a winner. Brant Morgan, who I'm just about to bring on, is also a firewalking instructor. And he is quite the interesting person in that he knows about wilderness survival and has co-authored some books about that, as well as enlightened nature awareness skills. And he created Vision Walk, which is a meditation process. So I'm looking forward to talking to Brant about all of this. His website right at the outset, brantmorgan.com. And without further delay, I am just so delighted to bring Brant Morgan on the line. Welcome to the show, Brant.
Well, thank you, Susan. What a treat to be here.
Well, it's a true delight to have you on because, my goodness, you are so multifaceted. I find many of the things that you're involved in here just so interesting. And as I said, the four agreements, as they were back then, had a very pivotal mm-hmm. role in my awakening, and I think in many people's awakening. So thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, it's really great to be here, and you're really right about the four agreements. They're so simple, yet so powerful in their simplicity. I see them more and more as the years go by as windows to what we already know. Just being impeccable with our word, not taking things personally, doing our best. They're such simple things, but to actually apply them in your life and see where you're not applying them, is a great wake-up call.
Yes, it definitely is. And, you know, there's much to reflect upon with each agreement, and I hope that we will step through them. Now, I'll say one of the things, a gift that you've given to us all with this game is a beautiful little booklet that, you know, it's like having a cheat sheet for the five agreements like we used to have in school. Because it just perfectly sums up what we need to know in very compact form.
Yeah, the booklet was a labor of love from both
yes.
myself and Olivier Clerc, who originally published it in French.
Uh-huh.
About a year before I began working with him. And we revised it quite a bit. Its purpose is really to give people a great background, even if they haven't read the Four Agreements. It can be read on its own. It takes people deeper into the agreements, looks at them from different points of view, and applies it also to the game. So it's a very practical application to the game as well.
Yes, yes. Yes. You know, one of the things I appreciated when I first discovered Don Miguel's work, and it's also something I appreciate about Blog Talk Radio, is that people come to this network from all walks of life, all different sorts of spirituality, which is certainly what happened to me years ago. I really wanted to be shown the way, and I found out that way is broader than just of that, but I appreciate this is very approachable for mm-hmm. many of us. You don't have to be from a particular path to appreciate how this can change your life.
Yeah. Just a quick comment about your mentioning the way. What
uh-huh.
I discovered over the years, including with the Five Agreements game, is that almost any method we use to clarify our spiritual path, to go deeper into it, I found is really a tool to discover the truth of what we already are. That in a
yes.
sense, there is no path because we are the way. We
yes.
are the way, whole and complete, just as we are. And the game or the four agreements or any other tool, it's just a method of opening us to that window of truth that lets us see who we are. And then we can say, aha, yeah, I see, I remember. And
yes.
that's the beautiful awakening that happens with people with so many traditions, so many paths, as you say.
Yes, yes. It seems like we go deeper and deeper into ourselves, and that becomes more and more expansive. That the deeper we go, the more it expands. And you know, I found out on my path that I had been taught all along that God was everywhere. It just, because I came from a very conservative background and we were taught that.
Mm-hmm.
But we never really thought that through. I mean, I think that it became much more meaningful, you know, just what the divine is. And, you know, something about this game as well that you explore is, you know, the importance of love. You know, how many of us are taught God
mm.
is love? A very simple truth.
Yeah, yeah. And that God is love on a very practical, down-to-earth relationship level as well.
Yes.
That it's not the great spirit or God or Allah or whatever you want to call that universal life force. is not something that's unapproachable and unattainable or way out there. It permeates every cell and every moment of our lives. So to be able to bring it down to earth and focus on actually creating something practical, like an improving a relationship, that's a beautiful expression of God.
Yes. It seems we
and all we have to do, all we have to do that is to awaken the Spirit of God within us and allow that to relate to the other person.
Yes.
That's the beauty. We just awaken our own presence, and there's God meeting God. So beautiful.
Yes. Yes, it seems that we discover we are love, and
yeah,
we meet
exactly.
there.
And that's the communion that happens in any moment.
Yes.
Any moment. And it can be just a beautiful surprise.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's take the opportunity now to, I think it would be wise to review for those of you, in the audience who would like to review the five agreements and also introduce these a little bit more deeply to the audience. And then we'll talk about how they operate within this game. So I wonder if we could step through each of the agreements.
Sure. Would you like me to just give a quick review of the agreements and what they are, and then maybe if you like, we can go back and look more closely at each one or a few of them?
Well, I think we'll just kind of go with it. We'll see how one takes us. So I'm happy to introduce. I have the cards in front of me. I mean, this game is so wonderful how it just lays it all out so in such a simple fashion. I'll ask you a question about each one. The first agreement.
Okay.
When I first heard the first agreement, be impeccable with your word, I think the first question all of us ask is, what is impeccable exactly? How do we get an understanding of what that means? What does it mean to be impeccable?
Well, if you take the word impeccable, Susan, at its foundation, it originally meant to be without sin. And, of course, sin has developed a lot of associations with it that involve going against God and doing something terrible that needs to be punished. In this sense, being impeccable means being careful not to do or say or even think anything that's going to come back to bite you, anything that's going to go against you, as Miguel likes to put it. So if you're impeccable with your word, that means that you're paying attention to what you're saying and doing in particular, realizing that your word is like a double-edged sword, that it can either create or destroy. And so you want to make sure we're speaking and acting in creative, positive ways to uplift and inspire and serve the best in ourselves and other people. That's what being impeccable means. And what it really requires is paying attention, because it's so easy to use the other side of that sword in a moment of thoughtlessness or unconsciousness, and then realize, oh my gosh, I've done something against this person, therefore I've done it against myself, and now I have to clean it up. It's going to come back to me.
Yes. I think, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but I think that sometimes, those of us who have come from very strict backgrounds may think that, perfection, that we have to be. And like I said, I jump ahead to the fourth agreement in a way. We may judge ourselves a little harshly on this one if we're not careful. And that's not the intent to stop loving oneself.
No, and perfection and judging oneself is actually being unimpeccable with our word. If we do something, if we try to be perfect, which is more than our best, as the fourth agreement says, if you try to do more than your best, you're gonna experience burnout, and the next day you won't be able to do your best. Therefore, you haven't really been impeccable either. These
That's
agreements
right.
are so beautifully intertwined with each other. I love it.
They do. It's almost impossible not to jump ahead because
exactly,
you reflect
exactly,
on.
Exactly, because they, you talk about one, you're really talking about all of them in a way.
Well, they all assist with each other in a way that you can. They do. They reflect upon each other. Okay, so the second agreement, don't take anything personally. Oh, that one is so important to understand, and yet, for some reason, it's one of those things, Brent, we tell ourselves so often that, you know, we want to live by that, and yet then, you know, something happens and we feel it happening where we're taking it personally. So how can we train ourselves? How can we journey with this particular agreement?
Well, the core, what it means is rather than don't take anything personally, what it means is rather than being offended or hurt by what other people say and do, or even brought down by a negative event in our own lives, to realize that what others say and do is a projection of their own point of view. Everybody's conditioned in a little bit different way, so they see reality through their social conditioning. And ultimately, it doesn't have a lot to do with us. Even with the people who are closest to us and know us the best, we don't necessarily have to take what they say or do personally. Just try to see through their eyes and what their reality is like and realize, okay, that doesn't have to hurt me. And if it does, realize, oh, okay, I've discovered a wound that still needs to be healed. What a gift. So you can always look at the agreements help us to look at everything in a positive way. But the second agreement is basically a shield whereby you won't be hurt by what other people say and do, sort of immune to the dream of the planet, as Miguel likes to put it.
Yes. Actually, that's a really important concept that I know he puts forward. It's that, you know, how we're all dreaming, essentially, while we're all awake.
All dreaming while awake, all with our individual beautiful dreams, and sometimes and even the nightmares are part of that. This existence of duality, the dark and the light. What would a Rembrandt be without the shadows? You know, and that's our life. But at the same time, when we become aware that we're dreaming, and that we have a certain conditioning that creates the dream, then we can begin to choose the colors we use and become artists of the spirit, as Miguel likes to put it, creating a beautiful dream of heaven with our thoughts and actions, and affecting other people and touching them to create their dream of heaven.
Yes. There's a beautiful I guess jumping to a book that was published that. Thinking about our lives as being on a movie screen, essentially, only we're creating the movie, which I think you say in your, I think that one's from the book, from the Fifth Agreement, the book. Mm-hmm. But that's a really beautiful concept. I love the metaphors, and that's another thing that you talk about in this booklet with the game, and it's a very important part of this work, is that these metaphors really help to bring these concepts home.
Beautiful.
And in many ways, the game is a giant metaphor, and it's very symbolic.
Of course.
And relationships
are the screen on which we play the game of life and interaction with other humans and other people in our movie, so to speak. The trick becomes, I'm sure Miguel would agree, that the trick becomes being able to sit in the theater, watch the movie of our own lives, and not get so caught up in it that we get pulled away and really think we are the character. In the second agreement, don't take anything personally, you take that to its ultimate. And what Miguel really means by that is there is no separate person. On the, at the deepest level, we are all one, playing this game of human life, enjoying being in the movie theater together and interacting with each other on the stage of life, but being able to realize that it's a game and being able to play it even more beautifully because of that realization. And if we don't take anything, if we realize we're not really, that we're more than a person, we are the divine in human form, then we can play with the realization that we're also the director and the producer and the every aspect of this beautiful movie.
Yes.
We're even the other characters in a sense, a part of them.
Yes, yes. There's no separation. And, you know, it's amazing how that truth is embedded in so many spiritual paths. I mean, it's essentially the omnipresence of the divine. And yet the understanding of it is there is no separation between
us. Isn't it beautiful that no matter what the tradition or the tool, it takes you to the same mountaintop, so to speak. And then there we can celebrate our differences. We can celebrate our different, the different colors and expressions of our traditions and the different pathways we've used to get to the top of the same mountain. That's why I love the Toltec path so much, because it doesn't exclude any other tradition. It just says, follow your heart and use some simple tools here to help you along your way.
Yes. Yes. It seems that's coming up more and more. It's as simple as following your heart. And that's the divine within us, essentially.
Which already knows the way and is the way.
Yes.
We're just coming back home to where we've always been.
Yeah, very much so.
It's really kind of funny.
Yes. That's the way this is. You know, we start journeying outward, and we come right back to the same concepts because they're fundamental truths, essentially, that are shared. So let's step on to the third agreement. Don't make assumptions. And I like this. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. This is all about communication.
Yeah. Isn't it true that so often we think we know what's going on in other people's minds, or we jump to conclusions about why someone has said or done something? So this agreement says, rather than making up stories, which we all tend to do, just the mind just wants to do that. It wants to feel like it has control and it knows what's going on. And rather than making up stories and worse, believing them, have the courage to check it out. So this one says, go for the truth. Pick up the phone, call that person, find out what happened with that event or that communication. Find out what that person's really thinking and what really happened, and that way you'll avoid unnecessary drama and suffering. Because what we tend to do when we don't know is to make up a story and believe it, and then that creates a lot of drama. Even when even when we find out what the truth is, sometimes we'll hold on to our untrue story because we've made it up and we believe it. It's really ridiculous.
Well, it's difficult to let go of our own stories sometimes.
Yeah.
I think we definitely can navigate through that. I mean, just, you know, it becomes, you know, this is all about relationship, you know, to get a deeper understanding of where someone is. It requires, I know you talk about in the book, this, and we already mentioned it even, this business of projection, you know, how, you know, we project realities onto people.
Yeah. Almost daily, I think. I think it's a very human thing to do. And we, one thing we need to do is forgive ourselves for that.
Yes.
But isn't it beautiful, though, the third agreement is all about not projecting things, or when we discover that we might be, even though we may not know for sure, could be right, but even though we don't know for sure, that act of picking up the phone and having the courage to check it out with somebody shows so much mm-hmm. respect for the other person. It immediately they know that it took courage. Immediately they feel respected and listened to, and that they have the space to explain their point of view. And
yes.
they're much less likely to meet us with a projection of their own. And then together we find the truth, and we can come together and have a communion in that moment
yes.
of courage and discovery of the truth. It's a beautiful,
yes.
beautiful agreement.
Yes, it really is. And you know, this notion of courage in this area, it is so true that we can create, I think part of the stories that we can create is this perception of a gap that would be difficult to cross. And, you know, that's why it feels like sometimes it can take so much courage to communicate openly. And yet that
can be the answer
to so many things.
And one of the reasons it takes courage is that there's no guarantee that that other person will respond in a positive way or
yes.
even show interest in finding the truth together. I know situations in my own life where I've wanted to clear the air with someone, and the response
yes.
has been, no, I don't want to do that. And then at that point, you realize you've done the best you could. You just need to give them more space and more time and realize you can't change everything. You can't resolve
yeah.
All relationships right now in the moment, but you can
That's
do your
true.
Best to improve them.
Yes.
Which
yes.
brings
that
us to the fourth agreement.
I was just going to say you flow beautifully into number four.
It was a total accident.
Yes. This one touches almost everything, though. It's easy to flow into this because it's how you navigate through life in general. This we've already discussed, you know, how you're doing, always do your best, you know, and what does that mean? Is that, it seems like sometimes, and you mentioned how we can try to do more than our best, and we talked about the impeccability, if we make that perfection, or, you know, you discuss doing less than our best, and where do we find that balance?
Wow, that's really a tough order because since your best varies from day to day and actually from moment to moment, what I find is something that I have to check in with myself on regularly, again and again and again throughout the day. Am I trying to do too much? Am I expecting too much of myself? Am I not doing enough? Am I just being lazy? And I have to go with whatever answer comes in the moment. And sometimes, of course, I'll make mistakes and do less or more. But just having that sort of barometer there, that fourth agreement there as a touchstone to come back to every once in a while during the day is a tremendous help. And in general, at the end of the day, I can say, yeah, overall, I'd say I did my best. And, you know, I was sick today, but given the circumstances, my best was taking care of myself so that I can do better, tomorrow or the next day. And it's just so variable.
Yes.
But
yeah, that's
again,
so
what
important.
A simple, beautiful agreement.
It's, you know, I have to say this one, ever since I first heard this agreement, it's come to play in so many ways. I mean, they all can, but the fact that I think that sometimes we're taught that our best is the best that we ever did. And we don't really think about that in terms of what is your best in the moment, because otherwise you're going to constantly be judging yourself or holding yourself to a standard that's too high. Or likewise, you could very easily underperform.
I think we all grew up with that little ditty, always do your best, never
yes.
let it rest. Don't rest until your good is better and your better is best. You know, there's this little rhyme in those kids. And the invitation, I think, that most kids get is to be perfect.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they get the message through daily life, you're never going to make it. you've got to keep trying, but you're never going to make it. So I think what the Fourth Agreement says to me more than almost anything else is watch out for that sense of perfectionism that always tends to come in and say you're not doing your best, you can always do better. And let the perfectionism go and be happy with whatever you do. And even if you don't do your best, be really quick to forgive yourself and let it go, because that's doing your best as well, is forgiving yourself.
Yes. Yes, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I feel that as a parent, and actually one of the things I want to talk about is how this game seems like a beautiful parenting tool, you know, just something to really, it's a game for many ages. I mean, adults can enjoy it, and kids at a certain age, I'm sure, can very much learn from this. And you know, I feel like as we awaken more in this world, we try to instill more realistic values in our kids and than maybe we were taught many years ago. And this is just a wonderful tool. And you just demonstrated that very well, just how, you know, there's such a contrast between, you know, what we may have been taught, especially long ago. You know, the schooling system seems to be changing too, more in this direction, to be more forgiving, which I think that's a good thing. Although in some cases it can be rigid. It's sort of both, you know. I guess it depends on where you're at, but the more enlightened school districts are incorporating more of this. And I appreciate how this game could really be a very fun way to really help kids grow. And, you know, it's all about relationship. And
I agree. I think that it is a game for all ages. The only requirement is that a person have a desire to play it, even just to try it out and have a curiosity. I can't say I've played it with kids yet, but I've definitely played it with parents who wanted to work on relationships with kids, and they all very gratefully did.
Well, I could see how, you know, you couldn't play it with really young kids, but once they reach a certain age to understand some of these concepts, yes, I think it very much could be something that I'm sure people will do and are probably doing already. So quickly we'll go through the fifth agreement, which actually some of us may not be as familiar with than the others, because if we first started out on this path, you know, the four agreements were something we just, you know, were so familiar with, but then the fifth agreement came along. So I'll give you a chance to introduce that, and then we'll talk some more about the game.
Okay. Well, the fifth agreement, in a sense, ties all the others together. It's be skeptical, but learn to listen, which means don't automatically take what you hear at face value. Don't automatically believe everything you hear or read, not from other people, not from the media, not even from yourself. Half the time our minds are producing not very pleasant things, and we tend to believe that too. But at the same time that you're being skeptical, that is not cynical, but skeptical, which means sort of being on the fence, really listening. If you learn to listen, not just with your ears, but with your whole being, you're offering another person your full attention, you're treating them with the utmost respect, and you'll also be able to understand not only the true meaning of their communication, but also the intent behind it. In other words, you're listening for the real meaning between the words and behind the words, and you're looking for body language, and you're being completely present, honoring that other person's communication in the deepest way you can. And it's a very powerful agreement. It tends to strengthen the other four by inviting us to really be present and frees us from the bondage of beliefs, when you're free of having to believe anything, but instead of seeking what's really true, you're naturally more impeccable with your word. You're less likely to take things personally, less likely to make assumptions, and much more open to doing your best.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's really beautiful how they do all tie together. So now that we've explored this is actually working out really well. Now that we've laid this foundation a little bit more deeply about the game itself. Now, the first thing that's important is, you know, this business of a chivalry of relationships. Can you explore what that means a little more deeply?
We had a lot of fun with that. Chivalry embodies a lot of positive concepts and feelings. It's something that's familiar not only to Europeans, but to Americans through the Knights of the Round Table, for instance, who followed a code of conduct that was very positive, protection, honesty, love, and peace, and the quest for truth. All those symbols that we use in the game are taken straight from this chivalric tradition. For example, just give you a couple examples. The first agreement symbol, be impeccable with your word, is the sword, reminding us that our word is double-edged, that it can either create or destroy. The second agreement, don't take anything personally, that we symbolize in the game with the shield, which protects you from the negativity of other people. And at the same time, if you are wounded by what someone says or does, that's a sign that you have, in a sense, a hole in your shield, a break in the shield that has to be repaired. In a sense, a wound that you've gotten because someone has gotten through the shield. And that's a really positive thing, too. The third agreement, don't make assumptions, is the Holy Grail, and a reminder to always seek the truth. The fourth agreement, the Knight's motto, always do your best, which we can also adopt as our own motto for daily living. And the fifth is symbolized by the winged helmet, be skeptical but learn to listen. Being skeptical protects your head from all of the junk that's flying around out there, while inviting your ears to fly while you're seeking the true intent behind the communication. So it's really interesting during the game how easy it is, even for someone like me who's been familiar with the agreement since the very beginning, to just in an instant with the symbol have the feeling of the meaning and the deeper significance of that agreement. There's something about the sword on this sword card that just transmits that immediately as I'm playing the game. And you just you don't want to mess with the sword. treat it with respect. Same with the shield and the helmet. And you... it's really a kick to play it with the symbols and the prize cards too, which are expressions of the different symbols that you get. You get different points and you get different prize cards and symbols for playing the game. And I'd be happy to explain how to play it too if you want to go that far with it a little bit.
I mean, you know, I think that. Something you just said really made me ponder about how it's so true that theoretically we can learn various concepts, but what this game does is it's helping us to apply them in a very meaningful, real way. And there can be a real difference between thinking we understand a concept and then actually, you know, having tools that allow us to apply them. And so I think that's what you described. And that's a very beautiful thing to be able to translate a conceptual idea to application.
Oh, that's so beautifully said, Susan. In fact, it embodies our original intent with the game in a beautiful, simple way. The five agreements are so powerful and transformational, but let's face it, we're all busy and we tend to read books and then just forget about them. not really practice or apply them in our lives. So we were really looking for a way to get people more involved and focused, using the agreements more deliberately. And that concept of a game, and a game where people have to have a certain measure of courage even to play it, and a certain be willing to take a certain amount of time to focus on a particular relationship and even expose that relationship to other people, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where change begins to happen, and where you also discover, oh my gosh, everyone I was afraid of talking about this relationship with, they're for me, they're with me. All they want to do is help me. And you feel really uplifted as the relationship just shifts before your eyes.
Yeah, you know what the beauty of this is, that the knights, they're vulnerable. I mean, beautiful way. I mean, that's what love does. And it's that you need to be vulnerable to play this game and not be afraid to venture into some daring territory.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to point out, too, that the different symbols and accoutrements that we use with the game are that we don't intend them as to create a symbol of the knight as totally invulnerable or so totally protected that you can't even touch him. No, these are all very practical tools that symbolically we all need to carry. We all need to know that the boundaries between ourselves and other people, for example, and symbolically that could be the shield, and our sword is our word. We don't need to use it. We don't need to draw the sword a lot of times, but sometimes just knowing it's there, just having it visible in our body language, lets people know who we are and creates a sense of respect that we need to have for ourselves with other people.
Yes. I wonder if you could explore the concept of slaying the dragon and, you know, facing the dragon as a first step into that. You know, that this game is about slaying the dragon within relationships. And what does that mean?
Okay, we do mention that many times in that booklet, and I think in the rules as well. And slaying the dragon in this sense means having the courage to face what's really true about a relationship, rather than avoiding it, rather than staying in your comfort zone and continuing making assumptions about another person or about how this relationship has to be just because it's always been this way. It's having the courage to turn around and look at yourself and what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking even, and especially what emotions you're creating within yourself. That's the dragon. It's the dragon of negativity, the dragon of the shadows that go unexamined within ourselves. And this game is a great way of lighting a candle and looking within and seeing that those shadows are really not all that scary. All it takes usually is just facing them, just lighting that candle and realizing, oh, the light dissolves those shadows. And now I see what I can do. If I use this light in the relationship, the shadows within it may disappear in the other person as well. And in that way, we make a contribution to the dream of the planet, making it a happier dream, making it a more fulfilling and loving dream.
Yes, yes, very much so. And, you know, I think that, you know, this can seem like some pretty heavy lifting, so to speak, as you're working through this, and yet, by introducing it within a game, I know that the reminder, and I suppose this is true in life as well, is that, you know, this is supposed to be playful, that you inject a playful element into doing real work.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, you know, that it's both.
It's so fun, Susan. It's so fun to be present during a game and watch the different reactions of people. Every emotion you can imagine, from laughter to tears and everything in between, comes out. And it's so beautiful that it's like a celebration of emotion and sharing. But the underlying feeling is one of mutual discovery and respect, and it becomes fun as soon as people realize that it's not as scary as they thought, and that's usually as the first round begins, and then people loosen up and laughter becomes a part of it, and the laughter is just a natural element that flows into it as it moves. It's very organic, very alive. It's kind of like life itself. And something moves within each person at the same time. There's a sense of relief. There's a sense of aha. There's a sense of joy in realizing, oh my gosh, over a 15-minute period, my relationship with this person has improved 40%. We actually quantify it with points. And that becomes fun too. Just keeping score, so to speak, if people want to do that.
Yes. Well, it certainly seems to be a wonderful tool. And, you know, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about you, Brant, and some of the other things that you're involved in, although we'll only be able to touch upon that in the time we have. But I want to let the audience know, both live and in the podcast, that if you would like to register to win one of these games, which I aim to get in the mail on Friday afternoon as soon as I find a winner, is all you have to do is write to info, I-N-F-O, at frontierbeyondfear.com. Send your name and address. And I have to restrict this to U.S. only, just due to postage considerations, as much as I appreciate the international audience. I appreciate you're with us in spirit here. Go ahead and send that by noon on Friday the 19th, and I will get it in the mail to the winner. One person will win a game. So, and also, I think there's plenty of time still to consider buying this as a gift for the holidays as well. It just seems like a very unique gift idea that will surprise people. I know we always enjoy that, finding a gift that really delights somebody that's unusual, that they just wouldn't, something they aren't aware exists at all. And I could see how this could be a beautiful gift for some people out there.
Some different family gatherings too.
Oh, yes. So we're going to shift gears here. We only have, we got about 10 minutes left. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit, Brant, now that you're on the show, about some of your other work as well. I find it fascinating that you have done quite a bit of work with wilderness survival. And I'll tell you, you know, right now, this wild film, I don't know how far I guess she goes into the wild. I actually met someone on a trail that I walk. I was telling Brant before the show, and I've told the audience before, I do a lot of walking out in nature myself. And I met someone who actually encountered the person in wild when she was out in the wild. It was part of that story, I guess. And I found it interesting that this happens to be someone who walks where I do as well. So, I wonder if you could tell us just a little bit about, that part of yourself, Brant. How do you walk in, just about anywhere? And tell us about these field guides that you were involved with.
Well, I do walk just about anywhere, and I do love walking in nature. Whether it be a local city park, the leafier the better, or a wilderness trail somewhere. One summer I hiked the Pacific Crest Trail all the way through Oregon and Washington. It was the summer of my life. And I really got, and shortly after that, I wrote a series of books on wilderness survival and nature awareness skills with a tracker back east named Tom Brown Jr. who had been taught his skills by an old Apache scout. So as you can imagine, there were a lot more spiritual skills involved in the practical wilderness survival than you might imagine at first glance. And that's what began to fascinate me as time went by. I did a Native American vision quest in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey. And that being out in nature, spending 4 days and nights in a 10-foot circle and without food and just pine barren spring water really opened me up to the beauty and communication of all forms of nature. And I realized, oh my gosh, there's a potential of communing with nature and with life 24 hours a day if we are open to it. And all we need to do is shut down the doors of the mind, and the doors of the spirit will open up and give us access to that amazing wilderness that's also within us. You know, we were talking earlier about how the spirit of the divine permeates us, permeates every cell. Well, it's the same with the wilderness. There's a vast wilderness within us that corresponds with the outer wilderness. I've always loved it.
Yes,
so
I have
that
found...
was part of my. Excuse me. That was part of my life before I met Miguel Ruiz in 1995.
Yes, I wondered. It seems like the more that you get out in nature, the closer nature really does come to you. I mean, you not only see more, but I mean, literally, the deer come closer, and the wildlife just shows up. I'm observing
the deer pick up on your emanations. The animals, all of your surroundings will pick up on your emanations and reflect them back to you in what you see and experience. It's an amazing conversation that takes place. The deer know.
Well, if they see me, they know I love them.
They
know that I'm not a threat. And yes, I tend to see more and more wildlife. I had an experience where bald eagles were singing to each other in the forest. I might send that one to you. It was amazing. And I had been out with these eagles quite a bit. Yeah, actually, it's pretty unusual. I may actually send that to you because, you know, you might be able to shed some light on it, because people were saying, I've seen eagles, I've never seen them do this. And it was just an amazing thing. But I've been with these eagles. I go, you know, out there almost every day, and same with the deer. And, you know, I think, you know, we're fortunate to live in some of the places we live. I've been fortunate to live in both Colorado and now Oregon. So
For me, it's been Washington, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Southern California. I've seen it all.
Oh, I bet you have. Well, you know, I'd love to. I know we can only touch upon this in the time we have, but maybe sometime I could bring you. I would love to bring you on again to explore some of these things more deeply.
Oh, that sounds great, Susan. I'd love to as well.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that just briefly I wanted to ask you about is some of your meditation work. It seems that, you created a vision walk process that is very approachable, it seems.
Yeah, this was a sudden inspiration that came to me when I was teaching a group of the Four Agreements, actually. It was a European group outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I couldn't get them out of their heads. They seemed to be stuck up there, and I sort of asked a question, well, how can I get these people to feel what I'm talking about, to really feel it? And something said, send them on a vision quest. And I said, oh, I can't do that. It takes 4 days and four nights. And so I was just downloaded this amazing information in a very short period of time. I immediately sent them out I asked them to send out a question to the universe, any question that is important to them, and then take a short walk in in this case, on a little ranch in New Mexico. And one man picked up the carcass of a beetle, one man whose wife had left him and who was in terrible grief and mm-hmm. pain. And he picked up the carcass of a beetle and looked at it and realized, oh my gosh, this is what I've been holding on to. There's no life in it. It's dead. And he turned it over and dropped the carcass. And as he dropped it, he dropped all of the pain and suffering that he'd been holding on to. And I realized, oh my gosh, I've really gotten onto something. So I put together what I call a vision walk, which is a very simple meditation system whereby you can get answers to any question and resolution to any problem in a very short period of time, just a few minutes. We already have the answers. We just need to see them as reflections of something symbolic in our environment that tells us, oh, and reminds the mind, okay, the answer was already in the heart, then here's what it is. But the thing that amazed me, Susan, was that there was not just the answer mentally, but it was like a shift in a person's reality that took place as a
yes.
result of asking the question.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that I offer. And I've done a book called Vision Walk that's available on Amazon, as
uh-huh.
well as an MP3 meditation that I'm going to be putting up on my website soon.
Yes. Yes. Well, it seems we live in a magical world if we just allow it to reveal itself. Actually, I said reveal ourselves, which is true, too.
That's right. Yeah, if we just open to the magic that's already present, then
yes.
it shows up. Then it's like it knows it's invited, and whoops, there it is. And
yeah.
it's like the only question is, are we ready for it? Can we handle more magic and more amazement and more wonder? And if we can, it's there.
That is the truth. It's fun. You know, it's almost like playing a game every day.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
So I just have to say, I really appreciate you coming on here tonight. Thank you so much. We've had a very interesting wide-ranging conversation tonight.
Oh,
and,
thank you, Susan.
I
feel like we could talk for a long time and not be exhausted at all. I really feel like lifted.
No, I believe it. I'm just really happy that you guys came up with this concept of this game. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea that you've brought into reality. And So thanks again for all that you're doing.
Oh, you're very welcome. The fun and discovery is in the playing, so I hope some people will get it and try it out.
Yes, well, one person will also win one. So, and again, I want people to follow the instructions for that, and I'll get that in the mail. And, yes, I do hope that everyone will explore this wonderful game. So thank you again.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful night. Care.
You too.
All right.
Happy holidays to you and your
Oh,
listeners.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Just a quick show note before, we raced right till the end of the show. That was such a fun discussion. We'll be back on the air again tomorrow, December 18th at 11 a.m. Pacific. Allison Carmen is coming on to talk about her book, The Power of Maybe. So that's at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And then Saturday, December 20th at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, Sonia Grace is coming back. And we're going to have a really nice reflective time celebrating the winter solstice. And she's coming very close to that solstice. So we're really blessed to have her here on the show again. So that's this Saturday. So thank you, everyone, for being here. I want to remind you to learn about this show that we just did and all the shows in the archive. Just go to frontierbeyondfear.com. And also, Brant Morgan's site is simply brantmorgan.com, and it's up on the show page. And I do invite you to go over there and explore this game and all of the interesting work that he's involved in. So with that said, I hope that you all are having a peaceful holiday season. I hope that you'll get outside, no matter what the weather out there, and enjoy it. And just have a reflective time out in nature so that we're not just rushing all around all the time. We're launching into the podcast. Happy holidays, live audience. I appreciate you. And we're ending the show with the podcast audience. So whenever this show finds you, it could be well after the holidays. I hope that you do go out and search out this game, because it just seems to be a wonderful tool to help us to live in a more meaningful, real way. So, and go in peace, whether it be the holidays or not. And may you find the love upon your path and radiate love every day.